Glory Be, a novel written by Martha B. Hook, narrated by Dennis J. Rowley. Dedication. If you have endured abuse or trauma, this story is for you. My God turns my darkness into light. Psalms 18:28 NIV. Part 1. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 34:4 NIV. Chapter 1. August 1866.
God forgive me. I'm glad He's gone.
Clarissa Chambers prayed in silence over her clenched hands. She was thankful beyond the telling for the shield of her black widow's veil, even though it made the oppressive August heat almost unbearable. The elders nailed her husband's coffin shut and lowered it into its yawning grave as the grieving congregation looked on in silence. Clarissa stepped forward, took a bit of soil, and let it slide through her fingers onto the casket. She watched dried-eyed as shovelfuls of dirt landed with soft thuds on Reverend Elliot Chambers' coffin. Armloads of summer flowers were arranged over the mounded raw earth. At last, it was over. When she stumbled away from the graveside, her friends Ida and Tom Lewis rushed to her side.
"Lean on us, Clarissa," Ida whispered.
Tom offered his arm. Others followed as they walked from the local cemetery to the Trinity Community Churchyard. Clarissa knew each and every one, for they had struggled together through the recent war between the states. The long, weary conflict had left Springdale, Kentucky, outwardly intact but demolished in other subtle ways. Many times the community had gathered in those days to honor one of their own fallen warriors. Now the death of Reverend Elliot Chambers, her husband, and their young minister united them again. This time they gathered for her. Tables covered with food waited in the shade of the churchyard. Scents of the feast wafted toward her. As much as she appreciated the efforts of the church's compassion committee to feed the hungry crowd, the thought of food sickened her.
"How can I eat? How can I not eat?"
Her legs failed her.
I need to sit down."
"Sit here and I'll bring you some water," Ida said. Ida, at her best with a job to do, bustled off and returned with a cup of water.
"Stay right here while I fix you a plate. Don't you dare move."
The new widow's thoughts were clouded by her last glimpse of Elliot's expressionless face at the graveside.
"So this is how it ends. Will no one ever know what it was like to be his wife?"
Moisture trickled from under the thick auburn braids twisted at the nape of her neck. People stared and whispered, fanned themselves, and whispered some more.
"Gracious, she's as thin as a broomstick,"
Prudence, wife of Elder Phillips, said.
"Bless her heart, she's been through so much with that sick husband,"
said Aunt Mag, the local source of any necessary sympathy. Clarissa overheard fragments of their remarks, but stared up at the white wooden church where she had been Reverend Chambers' wife since before the war.
"She ain't shed a tear, has she? And at her own dear husband's service," Prudence said.
Only once had Clarissa come close to tears, when her piano students sang a little chorus at the graveside. On an impulse, ignoring Ida's orders, she walked to the children's table.
"Children, your sweet song blessed my heart. I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. I know you worked very hard on it."
They surrounded her as she hugged each one. Elliot would have forbidden children's songs at a funeral, most certainly his own.
"But he's not here to voice his objections anymore, is he?"
Hazel eyes downcast, she returned to her seat.
"Clarissa, Francine, don't you dare smile."
The whispering continued.
"Now, Prudence, don't be so critical. You can't see tears with that veil over her pretty face," Aunt Meg said from behind the paper fan provided by the undertaker.
"Pretty? Not with all those blemishes. She's still young.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?